Sound of Hockey episode 257. We're calling this one the Matthew Barzal episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Matthew Barzal has 257 career assists.
Okay.
Assuming he doesn't get another one between now and when you hear this.
Okay. What's wrong with your voice?
It's hockey time. I'm playing hurt.
Okay. Well, good thing Curtis and I are here to fix that. This is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And also Curtis Izaki. Hello, Curtis.
Hello, everyone. Oh, my gosh. Deep sea hockey on the Twitter here.
That could not have. That's the worst you sounded since we got here. So
no, it's pretty bad. Getting over a cold, so not screaming at the game, just cold.
This is gonna be great.
Oh, man.
So John's just a little raspy. No illness there,
not that I know of.
Okay, Curtis, you're healthy again, right? I'm not. Yeah. I shouldn't worry about any germs that you might pass my way.
No, you're doubled N95 masking.
That's
is,
true.
Is taking care of it.
Okay, perfect. I forgot about the double N95s I was wearing. Which what's the math on that? N95 plus N95 equals
190.
M190, right?
Yeah.
Because you do two lowercase n's. This is, did I mention this is Sound of Hockey? We have some 5-star reviews to share from Apple Podcasts.
Hell yeah.
Our first comes from Vincent Adultman SEA. It says, equal parts insightful and hilarious. 5 stars. Darren, John, and Curtis are highly knowledgeable hockey fans. Whip smart and super entertaining together. This show is well worth a listen, whether you're a casual Kraken fan or obsessing over every roster move. I can also confirm that they're as friendly and gregarious in person as they are behind the mic. Thanks for not making fun of me for bringing a giant book into the hockey game, fellas. Oh, we talked to you at, at KEXP last week. With that, I have some thoughts on the recent segment's controversy, including an idea for a new segment. It says, Goalie Gear Corner, big fan. Ignore the naysayers, Darren. This one is a quote-unquote keeper.
Get it?
Oh, boy.
Let's talk about some headlines around the horn or the NHL or something. Has a real improvisational air to it. I'm not sure there's enough differentiation with weekly one-timers, though. Maybe workshop this one. New segment suggestion, Sound of Hockey. The guys give a rapt audience the inside scoop on how they record their audio. What is Bardown Studios like? How are the audio effects recorded? Every moo noise, rap air horn, and whoopish is detailed for an adoring public. Thanks for everything you do. Stick taps to Andy. Sincerely, Jackson. P.S. John, I'm serious. Next time you're in Nashville for a Kraken game, Hattie B's is on me. So
sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds great for you. Agreed. stick taps to Andy. You know, I was actually looking at his Twitter the other day, and it didn't really occur to me, but the last tweet that he sent out the day that he had his episode of the game, it said, perfect day to come inside for a big Pacific Division battle. It's just a picture of Clamp Pledge getting ready for the game, right?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Oh, man. I was thinking about him again last night here for the home opener. The Kraken are holding a seat for him in the press box, which is pretty cool. It says, Andy Eyed in memoriam. Also, 5 stars from Pragobunga. It says, love it. 5 stars. Great podcast. I like the humor mixed in with the serious Kraken talk. So short and sweet there. Thank you. And Washingtonian Dog. Washingtonian Dog. D-A-W-G. Must listen for all things Kraken. It says, the group is always producing great Kraken content with a K. I love the mix of top-notch analysis with a mix of fun, lighthearted segments. Goalie Gear Corner is my favorite, and please don't ever take it away from the listeners. Looking forward to many more years to come of great episodes.
I mean, there's a lot of Goalie Gear Corner fans.
That's true.
And which is odd because it is a visual kind of...
It's a terrible segment. In theory, I recognize how terrible it is, right? And even when I first said, here's what we're going to do, we're going to talk about Goalie Gear, and you and Andy, this was like way back, one of the first episodes we ever did, and you're like, that sounds like a terrible idea. And I was like, it probably is, but I'm going to do it anyway. And for whatever reason, it's stuck all these years. So yeah, but thank you to you folks for the 5-star reviews. Really appreciate those. If you haven't left your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, please leave it and we'll read it on next week's show. And we're going to get through this somehow, some way. But you two struggling the way you are, especially you, Curtis, I do think it's somewhat reminiscent of the vibes of the Seattle Kraken right now, who are, in fact, 0-3-1 to start the season. So they've gone winless in four games. Certainly not where we or any Kraken fan would have wanted them to start the season. But there is reason for, I guess, optimism. One of those things being that it's only four games in, right? And it is an 82-game season. And, you know, you've been mentioning in some of your stories recently, John, that at the beginning of last season, they were actually in kind of a similar spot. They only won, I think it was one of their first five. Is that right?
That's right. But they also had an overtime point in there, too.
So, one or two.
They're 1-3-1, I think.
Okay, is where they were last season. And so I think with that, like, I didn't even really remember the start going that way last year. So I'm thinking that if we get 2 months down the line and things turn the way that everyone kind of thinks they will, in theory, we won't even remember this little stretch, is my point.
I agree.
Is that overly positive? That's overly positive.
Well,
let's get negative. Go ahead.
And the thing is, I want to try to be objective here, and because I think I'm like highlighting some of the positive things. So I'm going to say something really positive is I think they've played great. Honestly, they're not scoring. Yeah. There's two periods in Nashville I didn't like.
And the third period kind of sucked against Colorado.
Yeah, but I think they were kind of taking chances, got out of their kind of game, trying to claw back and do something. And in Colorado, rightfully so, like it's hard to come back when you're down in the third. We've kind of been over that a bit. And I think Colorado just sat back and was going to be like, well, you're not going to get a cheap one here. So, and the advanced analytics say the same thing. That said, they're not winning, right? They're not scoring. So I think there's reasons to be happy with the way they're playing. It looks, doesn't look great at times, but I don't know. Curtis, what's your thought?
Yeah, let's hear it. Give me a good full-throated
long diatribe about it.
No, I may just gradually fade out in this podcast. You might not hear from me about
it. I'm actually hoping you fade in a little because right now you're coming through real soft.
There you go. Well, I'll do my best. So I agree, John. They, you know, you look at the analytics, they're still, I think, above water, even strength for expected goals. Yeah.
Let's not do it. All right, let's do this. Curtis, this sounds very painful. And if it were me, I wouldn't want to be doing a podcast right now. So do you want to continue battling through, or would you rather just kind of like sit on the bench? You can listen in, maybe talk with hand signals, and I'll relay to the listeners. Does that sound good?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, he's still here, folks. He's here for the rest of the show. He's part
of it. Gamer.
He's a gamer.
Yeah.
This is like, it's like Gabe Landeskog getting on the ice with his team last year during the playoffs, even though he's hurt. He can't play. Right?
I'll chime in with this voice, such as it is, if there's anything egregiously wrong. How about
that? Okay, that's good.
That's good.
And actually, that sounded much better. I don't know what just happened here.
It comes and goes.
Okay.
So all right, maybe it'll come later.
Well, rest up. Maybe have some hot tea with honey while we're...
There you go.
Yeah. Maybe get Wade the intern to go grab you some hot tea with honey. Speaking of which, I was introduced by a friend of the pod to somebody else last night as the Sound of Hockey Twitter intern.
Nice.
It made me laugh really hard.
That person is confused.
Oh, keep it down over there.
Okay, sorry. My bad.
All right. Yeah, the Sound of Hockey Twitter intern could be anybody. So
as far as we know, yeah.
Right. Okay, I'm off the rails here, off track. But Brandon Tanev is hurt. We knew that already, but the Kraken officially announced that he's out 4 to 6 weeks with a lower body injury.
Yeah.
That is significant because, remember, it started with a headshot, which he did get introduced at the home opener and had a pretty nasty-looking like cut on his nose, like a scab kind of a thing. But lower body injury. So it sounds like that is really the result, not so much of a head injury, which I think is good. Personally, but a lower body injury, 4 to 6 weeks, that's like semi-serious. So,
Wait, so the head injury is good or the fact that it's
not having a head injury?
Okay.
I get really scared about head injuries. I don't like head injuries.
I agree.
And I think that in general, like the Kraken have had quite a few players that have had concussions over the last couple of years. And it seems like, you know, they're out for a couple of weeks or whatever. And then they're right back in. And you're just like, when that happens, I'm like, oh, my God, please don't get it again.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So not that I want to see anybody get hurt in any way, but I always feel a little bit of, I guess, relief when I know it's not.
Yeah.
Now, we don't actually know. Like, they might have just said that it's only lower body and maybe had both upper body and lower body. But that's what they've officially said is it's a lower body injury. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. So, yeah, could have been worse.
Yeah.
Could have been better, but could have been worse.
It's hard to say they've missed him since he's left, right? Since he's been out of lineup. Because the one thing Tanev has outstanding at is the penalty kill.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been outstanding in the penalty kill. So not saying it would be nice to get him back. I'm not trying to imply that. But but it's like it hasn't been as consequential as it could have been. Now, we still have like 4 more weeks, so that might change.
Depending on health of the rest of the players moving forward. But yeah, Ty Cartier has slid right in after that first game. I think he's done a fine job on the fourth line. I don't think it's the right role for him. You know, I'd like to see him in a top 6 or top 9 role at least, but I'd rather see him getting playing time though than sitting in the press box, certainly. So
no doubt.
If the role for him is fourth line, then fine. I'll take it.
Yeah.
There was also a little bit of a line switch between the second and third lines. So basically just Oliver Bjorkstrand and Andre Burakovsky switched spots. Each of them had some good looks in that game against Colorado, and we're going to circle back to the Colorado game in a little bit. But, you know, I don't know. I think they're at a point where they're already trying to shuffle some things up to create some offensive chemistry, to get guys scoring. It does feel to me like one of those scenarios where if they can just have one of those games where they, you know, pop in 4 or 5 goals, all of a sudden a goalie doesn't play outstanding like the goalies have been playing, and all of a sudden I think that the dam is broken, you know, and that's what I think is going to happen, but we'll see. They're at a 2% shooting percentage right now, and that doesn't seem like that's going to stay.
Right, and in the most recent takeaway from the Colorado, I kind of went in, it just felt like they were getting like these grade A chances and not executing. So for one, I wanted to see if the volume of chances and high danger shots was comparable to like other teams and where they were last year. And it is, the quantity is there, but their shooting percentage on those high danger shots are 9%, where the league average is usually around 35%. And so if they were just to get to league average or even slightly below, that's another 5 or 6 goals that they should have. I expect that to normalize a bit, and that, you know, with getting that shooting percentage up on the high danger shots. And like you said, it's just, hopefully it just cracks the dam open.
Yep, I totally agree. Let's talk about the games. So they've played Nashville, St. Louis, and Colorado since we last spoke with you. Nashville ended up being a 3-0 loss, which included an empty netter. Being honest with you, I didn't think they deserved to win that night, other than Philip Grubauer played really well, and I think he gave them a chance. But I just didn't think they had their best effort at all. They didn't get much going. I think they had like some little spurts where they looked good, but yeah, I mean, they were long stretches, especially in that, it was the second period, right, when the Predators really, like, took over. And it just, I don't know, it just didn't look good for Seattle that night.
I agree. That's, like, the only game I'm really not, like, I'd be like, oh, I'm not happy with the output there.
Yeah.
And how they played. And I think there was, again, that's the only game that concerned me, I guess.
Well, and the other, I mean, they came, like, going into that, you're like, all right, it's 3-game road trip. They're playing against Vegas, who I don't expect them to beat Vegas on opening night, banner night. I do expect them to at least be close, if not win, against Nashville. I do expect them to at least be close, if not win, against St. Louis. They were close to St. Louis. They lost in a shootout. But against Nashville, I mean, the score wasn't that lopsided, but I didn't think they really deserved to win that game. So
I believe, if I remember correctly, there's 3 teams that did not make the playoffs in the first 10 games for the Kraken.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis and Nashville being 2 of the 3, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you expect to win a couple of games, like, those are the ones you should circle and say, okay, more than a 50% chance of winning those.
Yeah. And then St. Louis, they did play well in that one. And Joey Decord got his first start of the year. I thought he also looked excellent, just very calm, cool, and collected in there. Not like he was playing his first NHL game in a while. He looked like a veteran to me. I just thought everything, you know, pucks were hitting him and sticking. There weren't big, crazy rebounds. He was moving the puck the way that he normally does. I thought he looked excellent. So that's a really good sign. I think in general, they've, like, that's been a bright spot for them here in these first 4 games. They've gotten good goaltending, right? Curtis is nodding and his eyes look big. So he's definitely agreeing with me on that. So that's a good thing. You know, they did get a power play goal that night. Jaden Schwartz scored. That's the one time they scored on the power play, which is actually -1 now on the year because they've given up 2 shorthanded goals and they've scored 1 power play goal. They also had a disallowed goal early in the game, which I don't know. I could have seen that going either way. I think there was some contact between Jared McCann's stick and Jordan Binnington's blocker, or maybe his, like, the shaft of his stick, but it didn't seem like much to me. I was a little surprised that waved that off.
And in my opinion, the contact happened outside the crease, which is usually a marker to determine if it's interference.
Yeah.
However, that's where the stick hit him, hit Binnington, but his, like, feet were still at the top of the crease. So you could say, like, well, he was still in the crease, but his, like, body was outside, if that makes any sense.
Interesting. I always thought of it as, like, a silo, right? So, like, if you build a silo from the top of the crease straight up,
I know
and
exactly.
his arm is yeah. outside of the crease, and you make that's contact fair, with that, that should
game.
Be fair game.
That's how I interpret it, yeah. but, like, what are we doing?
I don't know.
This.
I never know what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's my point. Like, we never know, and I was surprised it got overturned. Like, anyway.
It felt like a desperate challenge, and they ended up winning it. So, yeah I was surprised by that. Maybe not desperate, but like, we got a chance here. Maybe they'll decide it.
I don't think Haxtell, if the roles were reversed, I don't think Haxtell would.
He'd have been furious.
Would challenge that. Yeah.
Oh, I see. He wouldn't have challenged it. Right? Yeah. And then in overtime, they did possess the puck the entire time. They didn't have a ton of like great offensive looks, except for the last minute they really went for it.
No whistles either. No
whistles, just 5 straight minutes of the Kraken just holding the puck with maybe a 30 second gap in there where St. Louis had it. And Joey made a big save. So
Yeah.
And then the opening night Colorado game, we talked about it a little bit already, so we'll probably repeat some themes here. But again, Philip Grubauer, you know, his stat line isn't that outstanding from this game, but he had some big saves too in this game. So, you know, I feel pretty good about the way that the goalies have played in all of the games. I don't necessarily pin any of the goals on him, but this one, they started out good. I really liked their first period. They went to the room with a 1-0 lead. Kyler Yamamoto scored. The fourth line looked really good to me in this particular game. But then they got a shorthanded goal against from Logan O'Connor and Curtis. You can just nod. Yep. As you pointed out in Three Takeaways, there's a turning point because they had two consecutive power plays. One of them, they gave up a shorthanded goal and they did not score. So that really deflated them and then got them on the back heel. And they never recovered after that.
Don't you think speaking of the power play, don't you think the second power play unit is looking better than the first right now? I think the first looked better toward the end of the Colorado game, the last couple opportunities they had. But even going back into St. Louis, which is where I don't know who's the first and second right now, but I would say the second is, well, the first is McCann and Beniers, right?
Yeah.
But I think the second power play unit has looked better. And I think it was at the end of the second, there was a penalty that carried over into the third. And in the third, Haxtell started the second power play unit.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I think Yamamoto is a pretty good zone entry guy, which I didn't know that about him, but he seems to gain the blue line pretty easily every time. Maybe it's because he's so small, they just like can't see him.
I mean, he's fast. He's fast.
Fast, and he has good hands. So. Yeah. But yeah, I think he's been a really good zone entry guy, which I think has been a pleasant surprise, and he's looking good. So I'm pleased with his play so far.
What is interesting to me, and maybe I pointed this out last time, is that there is no center on that second.
Yeah.
On the second power play.
Yeah, you did point that out. Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be hurting them because Schwartz can win faceoffs.
The other player on that first unit is Jordan Eberle, who also had a fight on Tuesday night in the home opener, which I thought was interesting. That is just his third fight in his career, third fighting major at least. He fought Logan O'Connor, who did have an impactful game in a couple different ways. And this was some carryover from last season because remember in the playoffs last year, after Cale Makar gave Jared McCann a concussion, which earned Makar boos even last night every time he touched the puck, which I thought
good
was
one.
Great.
Yeah, I love that.
But Eberle had a hit from behind on Andrew Cogliano, which did not cause any kind of suspension or anything like that. Cogliano played, I think, the rest of that game, and then it was revealed that he had broken his, like, a bone in his neck. So that was a big deal. But so then there's a response on Tuesday from Colorado toward Jordan Eberle. Jordan Eberle, quote unquote, answers the bell. I thought he held his own just fine, but he's not a fighter at all. And I don't know. It was interesting that happened, but then there wasn't any kind of a fight with Cale Makar.
So I had seen that McCann actually was trying to challenge Makar to a fight.
Did you see it happen, Curtis? I did not pick up on that. You can just nod. It's fine. Yeah. You're like Lassie telling us where there's a boy caught in the well. Yeah. Okay. You saw it happen. All right. I did not see that happen. So
I didn't
McCann,
either.
you heard it here first, or maybe you saw it somewhere. But oh, the microphone is on.
Yeah, it's it looked okay. Never mind.
Yep, okay, it happens. No, no, that's good. That's good. We know.
I mean, so that's what I don't like. In general, I'm not old school, and I don't think that if somebody doesn't want to fight, they have to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Messier and PK Subban apparently on the TV broadcast were like given Ebbs props for answering the bell, but I don't glorify fighting that much. Although if he wants to fight, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't like is Eberle answered the bell, but Makar did not,
right.
Given the same situation, the same game. That to me is like, my point is O'Connor shouldn't have challenged Eberle if Makar is not going to fight. I don't like that.
I agree.
So again, I don't think you should fight if you don't want to fight, but this seems a little weird that there's a double standard on the same game, same scenario.
Yeah. You had a note here of a let's get quizzical. Is this just going to be me against myself since he's going to... He said he's going to use smoke signals.
Yes, I do have a let's get quizzical.
Okay.
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, I believe.
So.
He's got his cell phone out to text us.
Yeah, this might work.
Okay,
so right. The Eberle fight was the 50th fight in Kraken history.
Ooh,
regular
okay.
season fight, I should say. So I'm going to say quiz you guys on who the top six fighters are. I do six because the fifth and sixth are tied with the same number of fights. How should we do this? Basically, whoever gets the most of the top six. So okay. I'm going to go Curtis first.
All right. You can message us, Curtis.
Yeah.
He's doing that now. How do we... Okay. What did he say?
Yanni Gourde. He is number two.
Okay. I'll go Vince Dunn.
He's tied for fifth.
Okay. It's 1-1, Curtis. Go ahead and text away.
Alexiak is number one.
Okay. I'll go, how about Adam Larson?
Adam Larson is not in the top six. Mm. He's only got two fights.
Okay. How many does, like the fifth guy that I mentioned, how many did he have?
Dunn has four.
Four fights. Yeah. Okay.
And the first regular season of all, ever.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Curtis guessed Susie. That is incorrect. Mm. Susie had three, so... He was seventh.
How are we doing this? Is there like a strike system? And is it one to one right now? Right?
No, two to one.
Two to one. Yeah. Okay. I will go Mark Giordano.
Mark Giordano only had one.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa,
which is
I
crazy.
I thought I remember him fighting a
Didn't
few times.
Didn't he go like psycho mode?
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact scenario, but he came out psycho mode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He only had one fight. Okay. I'll give you guys
one
two more guesses
two
each.
Two more guesses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Borgen, number three.
Yeah. All right, that's a good one, Curtis.
Yeah.
Curtis guessed Borgen silently.
He's I should say he's tied for third.
Okay.
Here's a hint.
Uh-huh. Oh.
The last two
uh-huh.
are no longer on the team.
Okay.
That's a huge hint, actually, now that I think about it.
It really is. How about Ryan Donato?
Ryan Donato is fifth. Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Okay, so only one more.
Okay. So Curtis gets one more guess. But is it tied now 2-2, right?
No, Curtis has three.
Oh, I'm dormied. Okay.
Well, all you right. get one more guess.
Oh, I get one more guess. Yeah. Is it Curtis's guess, though, currently?
It's Curtis's guess, and all then right. you get one more.
He's typing.
Bastion. Nathan Bastion. He actually has a fight, which is pretty good. No, that's not correct.
Do I get one more?
Yeah, to tie it and send it into overtime, which will just be next week.
Okay. How about... So the last one's not on the team anymore, right?
That's correct.
I know Colin Blackwell had at least a fight. But I don't think it was multiple.
Not according to NHL.
Oh,
no,
well.
Blackwell did okay. not. Yeah.
That wasn't my guess, so. I also, I don't know.
Okay,
this
all
is
right.
hard. I give up. I'm giving up. Brandon Tanev.
No, Brandon Tanev. He's
still
got
on the team.
Yeah, he's got three fights, though, actually.
He does have three, but he's not in the top six. Okay.
No. Jeremy Lazon.
Oh. How could we forget? Darn it. Okay.
That's only, he only played three quarters of the first season, and he got scratched quite a bit too. So he got five fights in his brief time, probably the most fights per game played in
per
Kraken
capita,
history.
Yeah.
Yeah, per capita.
All right. Well, that was a good let's get quizzical. It was tough. We should talk just briefly, the home opener. What was your experience, John? Did you enjoy what was happening in the building on the particular night? There's some updates to things. The pregame show was kind of new. I thought it was pretty cool.
It was cool. What I don't know, because it seemed long, but mm-hmm. that might have been because it was the home opener.
I think so it was extended a little bit.
I'm interested to see how it is mm-hmm. on Thursday and Saturday night. Yeah, I love it, man. I love being in that building. Obviously, I went to the preseason games. A couple new food additions.
Mm.
Some chicken wings, some anyway, some really good stuff that I'm eager to try. The score bug was pretty interesting, I thought.
A lot of stats.
Yeah, a lot of stats. Sometimes I just want to see shots, and it's not on one of the twins. You have to kind of look into the...
I think it always is. It's towards the middle, though.
I think they change them over sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Particularly on power plays.
Uh-huh.
But it is like on one of the other auxiliary scoreboards, like the ring, one of the ring scoreboards, at least on the north end. I saw it. Let's see. What else?
It was really cool to be, because like preseason, it wasn't full, you know, which is like to be expected.
Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome to be back in the totally packed arena. Right?
For sure. It felt like, I love kind of just sitting back and like looking at all the people, like getting all rowdy. So yeah, that was great. Eager to see more games, obviously, but, anything else you can think of?
People love Tommy Burton.
They've always loved Tommy.
I know, but like he got a massive cheer. You know who else got a big cheer that I thought was interesting? When because they announced the full team for the home opener. Dave Hextall got a really big cheer for the crowd.
I kind of love that.
And when they put him up on the screen, he cracked a little smile.
Yeah, he's trying not to smile.
He's got that really like tight demeanor that he tries to portray, I think. And I think when he heard people cheer for him, I think it tickled him a little bit.
Quick question on that. Do you think Tim Ohashi gets a little more pop than some of those others?
Ooh, I wasn't paying too much attention, but maybe.
I think he does.
Think people love Tim Ohashi.
I think so. And I'm not sure... I mean, he just looks like a nice guy. And he cracks a little smile and like waves where everybody else is like game face.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's part of it. Or maybe they just listen to him on the pod, which was awesome.
Yeah. One of our COVID interviews, that was a really fun one. So, okay, round table questions real quick, which is just going to be myself and John.
Yeah.
So it's really more of like a...
Would have been more fun with Curtis, but...
Yeah, we'll call it... What's another term for a round table if there's only two
of us? Well, like one-on-one?
A one-on-one. We'll have a one-on-one.
We're going to do a one-on-one.
Yep.
Yeah.
John, have you had any surprises so far in terms of individual players?
You know, maybe we were hyping him a little bit during the preseason, but he still impresses me. And maybe I was like a little bit bullish on him, but I wasn't sure. Pierre-Edward Belmar.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been a stellar addition defensively.
I agree.
Particularly on the PK, winning faceoffs. Like, he just adds an element that they've needed. And so I've been pretty stoked about what I've seen from him. He's still not playing a lot of minutes, but I've liked what I've seen.
You know what Hextall called out today at his press conference that I thought was interesting was, yes, like, Belmar is winning faceoffs, but also the team is doing better because he's like mentoring guys how to win faceoffs.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that. That like having a guy that's really good at faceoffs can share some of that knowledge and practice with these guys that aren't so good at winning faceoffs and help them get better. And the team is so far doing better in the faceoff dot. I agree with you on that one. I wouldn't say that I'm surprised by it, but I was really pleased with what I saw from Joey in his outing. I thought like his confidence there in that first game, he just looks solid. Like he looks like a true pro goalie to me right now, a true NHL goalie. And I think, thinking back to some of his appearances that he had where it was like he'd fly in on the day of the game and it was this big scramble to get him in and he never had like just a normal setup for a game in the past. Maybe he had one or two last year, but you know, just like seeing him in his element playing as a true NHL goalie, and he looked like a true NHL goalie in that game. And I thought that was pretty exciting. So that's my call out. I'm not surprised by that, but it was just
reinforcing.
Confirmed what I thought would happen, which was great. Any red flags right now? I would say the fact that they're not scoring goals is a big concern.
Yeah, somebody brought that up on the podcast before too.
I don't love that they don't score.
No, that ain't good.
No, and you know what it is for me is like maybe I mentioned this last week, maybe I didn't, but the fact that so far every goalie they've faced has looked awesome, right? And sometimes you're like, oh, it's just that they're playing against an awesome goalie. And sometimes that legitimately happens. And sometimes that happened last season, too, when they scored the most 5-on-5 goals of any team in the league. But then those like star performances are like true star performances versus when you think back to the inaugural season, how many times where you're like, oh, man, they had so many shots tonight, but the other goalie just played so well. You know, and at some point it's like, maybe they just can't score.
Maybe they're not good shooters. right? Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
So I don't think that's what like the case is. You know, you've pointed out, John, well, they do have shooters on their team. Yeah. There are guys that can score goals. That is true. Like eventually, I think, you know, Burkovsky is such a streaky goal scorer. You know, that 2-on-1 that he has against Colorado, he doesn't miss the net by an inch. He puts it an inch inside the post.
Right.
Jaden Schwartz doesn't put that, you know, when he has 5 seconds to stand there and pick his spot on Georgiev, he doesn't put it into his pads. Like eventually these guys start scoring because historically that's what they do. But yeah, I think it's very much concerning. So that's my red flag. They're not scoring goals.
So I wouldn't say it's a red flag, like, oh, they need to fix this. But to me, and I think I said this last week, Burkowski and Dunn haven't looked that sharp.
Agreed.
And it was somewhat noticeable, Burkowski last against Colorado. I thought he's just not there yet. And he'll get there, and he needs to play. So I'm not saying, like, sit him or anything like that. But he's just got to get back in the rhythm and get it back together. And I think Dunn's in the same boat. And Dunn started cold last year. So I'm not worried, but that is a red flag. And one thing, I didn't call it out when we were talking about the games, but one thing I really did like seeing in that Colorado game at the end, even though they were getting beat, there were some guys that were pissed off and frustrated. And, like, I thought Maddie had a little fire on him yesterday against Colorado. And I think McCann has been feisty at times. And Burkowski, when he turned it over for that empty net, like, he broke his stick into, I don't know how he broke it, but he held on to it like he broke it over his knee or something. He was pissed off. And you don't see that from him. And I kind of appreciate them getting agitated and being like, F this, we got to fix this, and like getting pissed off versus like first season, it seemed like, ah, crap, we stink.
Yeah. So. Bright spots. I got the goalies. Goalies have been a bright spot for me. I've been impressed.
I would agree with you 100%. I've been stoked with the goalie so far, but because it's a 1-on-1, I got to pick something different.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll add a little bit more color than just saying one word. I've been impressed with the goalies. I think I was just wondering, right, if Grubauer's success from the playoffs last year, and he had such a good series against the Avalanche, he was pretty good against Dallas, not like outstanding, but gave him a chance, took him to game 7. But, you know, that had to have been a big confidence booster for him. We think back to each of the last two seasons, how terribly he started. And then he'd start to show flashes every now and then. And like, just, you know, he never like really strung it together the way you thought that he would. So to see him get out of the gates like this is exciting to me.
And
I think that's great.
One thing I felt I saw, particularly last game against Colorado, is he's holding on to the pucks. I never thought like giving up big rebounds was an issue before, but it seems like he's much more stable about holding on to pucks, eating pucks, and not letting, you know, any juicy rebounds there. Is that a fair assessment? Like, do you get
I
that
agree.
Read? Okay. I wasn't sure if that's just me hypothetically making something up.
No, I think that's a sign of confidence in tracking the puck well, is when it seems to be hitting the goalie and sticking. It doesn't like pop out
right.
of the glove. It doesn't kick right back out into the slot, things like that.
He did allow, I think two of the goals were breakaway goals. Like,
yes.
But I think he also stopped two or three breakaway goals as well against Colorado. So anyway, yeah, I agree.
So what's
but
your bright spot?
My bright spot, I know. And then I layered into it. But my bright spot, it's got to be the PK.
Okay.
Like, it's been outstanding. Knock on wood. Haven't allowed. You got it?
Yep, okay. I'm knocking.
Haven't allowed a goal against in the PK. So very nice.
Meanwhile, power play. Let's go down on the farm. Moo! Carson Rakoff is off to a real hot start. He is leading the OHL in goals scored, right, Curtis? You're nodding. This was supposed to be Curtis's segment, but then we determined that he's too injured to carry on. And he had a hat trick in his last game?
No, last on Friday he had a hat trick.
Okay.
And then on Wednesday night he had 2 goals.
All right. So there you go. And those were against the team from Ontario.
Yes.
That they played against.
Yeah. We didn't. I don't know that. Curtis knows that. And
this wasn't supposed to be my segment.
Yeah.
What is supposed to be my segment is everyone's favorite segment. Goalie Gear Corner! You know that comment that said they wanted to know about how we did all of the sound effects? Some of them are, in fact, live, I will tell you. So the moo sound effect, that's real, baby. That's coming right out of Darren's voice. Weekly one-timers is John. That's happening live. I will say your consistency is impressive.
You know, my favorite, every once in a while I think about when Piper was doing the weekly one-timers and Allison was doing the weekly one-timers.
Oh, yeah.
It's not easy.
No, like, it's not. Yeah. You can't just... You can't just pick it up they and can't do just it if you've never done
come
it.
Come into the studio and like nail it on one take,
no.
right?
Mm-mm. But the Goliger corner air horn, that is an actual sound effect that we just cut in post-editing. So
we don't have an air horn in the studio. The dogs would love that.
Yeah, they would. They really would. Okay, so two new masks for Kraken goaltenders. Philip Grubauer has a new one. It looks very similar to what he was using before, which is the white with like, it's almost got like pencil drawings. There's some mountains on the top. There's a horse, which we've learned that he's very passionate about horses along the chin. And then what the big difference is, though, is that there's a big colorful Kraken word mark on each side. So pretty much everything else is about the same, though. He just added a big word mark just to add like a pop of color to it. The back plate looks about the same as I remember from his old mask, so that is out there. Also, Joey has another new mask coming in as well. He's shown some pictures of it. Well, his mask painter Shifty put out some pictures of it. I love it. I mean, every mask that Joey has had has been awesome. I'm not sure why he's switching to a new mask so quickly, and I really should have asked him because I was talking to him about his new mask today. Probably could ask him why he switched so quickly, but I love the new one. It's got these big, mean Kraken eyes down by the chin. I think that's pretty cool. A lot of sparkle. He's a big sparkle guy. And then he's got like a tentacle grabbing at the Space Needle, which I think looks awesome. So, as always, good stuff.
Yeah, I love the Space Needle on Joey's, yeah. Kind of across the top, the shadow of it. Oh, man, so beautiful.
It always is. It always is from Shifty.
I'm telling you, man, this is like pure art. I would love, should be careful what I say here, but I would love to buy a helmet like that and it being art on display at my house or something. But
Yeah. Why do you want to be careful about that?
Because it'd probably cost a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably would. But anyway, new mask coming very soon. I do have it on good authority that it should be here within the next couple of days. So
how do you think
be on the lookout for
that.
When
do you think his next game will be? Rangers?
Maybe I give him Carolina. I don't know. This could age very poorly because it's going to probably come out around the time that the Carolina game starts.
Yeah.
And by the time the Carolina game starts, we will have passed morning skate and we will know who the starting goalie is. I'm not going to guess. I'm not going to guess when it's.
But I like the 2 out of 3 games for Grubauer.
I think it's good.
One for Joey.
Yeah. Like, maybe New York's a good guess.
Because that would be consistent with what they did the first week. Mm-hmm. So,
He played really well in his game. So I think he deserves to get back in, but also Grubauer's playing well too. So, okay, we have a note here. It says, new segment, weekly wager. Who wrote this?
I did.
You wrote it.
Yeah,
okay.
Remember.
I'm really glad it's you and not Curtis because he can't speak. So if we had to have him explain it, I would have been, that would have been difficult.
Okay, so remember last week, a reviewer had a couple suggestions for new segments as well. He said like a weekly bet on something coming up for the week. So I thought, been thinking about this. I think it's a great idea. So I'm going to put up $1, a whole dollar.
Okay. I don't know if I have 5 Canadian dollars in my wallet. Does that work?
I don't think so.
Can I Venmo you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Curtis, what are you laughing at?
Curtis is giggling.
Keep it down over there.
Yeah, I know.
God.
Rest your voice. We might need you next week as well. That the Kraken will get 6 points out of the next 6 games. At least 6 points out of the next 6 games. And that's a challenging task.
Because they've got tough matchups.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the bet there? So like if they're over 6 points, is it an over-under scenario?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're taking the over?
Over.
So I have to take the under, right?
Well, what you could do is you could also put a separate bet. And if we both hit, then we push.
Okay. What? All right, so I have to take the opposite.
Yeah, but you got it. Right? No. You don't have to take the opposite. You claim this is going to happen.
So all you're doing is saying they're going to go over 6 points,
6 or more.
Okay, if you're right, I pay you $1. Correct.
I take the pot, so you should put in another one. We should have thought this through.
Oh, should we have?
Well, they were great suggestions, but I realized we never followed up and talked about it.
Here's a better thing to do. I think you set the over-under at some limit, some number of points. You take the over and I take the under, or vice versa. And I think Curtis should determine by holding up a number of fingers. Curtis, in the next 6 games, right? That's what we said? 6 games?
Yeah.
And we won't have 6 games by our next recording.
No. How about we do the next 3?
3 games. And so in the next three games, they can get a total of 6 points. What is the over-under, Curtis? And remember, there can be a 0.5, which is usually how over-unders are done. I just showed him how to do a hand signal. Okay. Next three games. Yep. And reminder, they play against Carolina, New York Rangers, and who do they play after that?
The Detroit Red Wings.
Ooh, who have Daniel Sprong. So,
ding dong, Daniel Sprong.
Ding dong, Daniel Sprong. Who has 2 goals on the season. And the Detroit Red Wings have the most goals of anybody in the NHL right now. Fun fact. 3.5 is the over-under. Will the Kraken take more than 3.5? And I'll give you, since you're the one that's setting this bet, John, I'll give you first guess. So I'll take the opposite of what you pick.
I'm going to go over.
You're taking the over.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're gonna get at least 4 points out of the next three games.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So I will take the under, which is 3 or fewer points, which is unfortunate because I don't like that. I don't like that bet at all because now I'm like rooting for them to come up short in a way. And that's just terrible. So, but anyway, I like it. I like the segment. I don't love the bet.
Okay,
I don't love where I'm at.
I think we'll relaunch it next week.
We'll workshop it.
Yeah.
This was it wasn't a failure to launch, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
But it was
a point
it
five.
Didn't go,
it's a point five.
It didn't quite go according to plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely did not. So
I wonder if there's a way we could get the community involved, like the
listeners.
I think
they could recommend some bets for us, certainly.
Ooh. Could be dangerous.
It could. We have a You Don't See That Every Day. The whistle was actually me. If you're wondering, the whistle was actually me whistling into a microphone, but I recorded it. And so that is something that we splice in, but it is actually just me going. That probably sounded pretty good, right? That was live. That one was live. So Strauss Mann, who is a goaltender in the American Hockey League now, previously of the Michigan Wolverines, if I recall correctly, during the COVID times, for some reason, well, because Maddie was on the Michigan Wolverines, I think with Strauss Mann, right? Wasn't he the goalie?
Yeah.
So I feel like I watched Strauss Mann play a lot for the Michigan Wolverines because this was peak COVID times when the only hockey out there was college hockey, right? And so I ended up watching Michigan so much. So that's why I remember Strauss Mann. Strauss Mann scored a goal in a very unique way. He's on the Laval Rocket. They were playing against the Rochester Americans. And the Rochester Americans, it was like late in the game. They were pushing.
No,
it was
wasn't
not
late
in the game.
It was,
they had their goalie out for a delayed penalty.
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes it
even
better.
They were up 3-0 at the time.
I did not realize that. That makes it even better. But the Rochester Americans got the puck behind the net. They tried to bank it in off of Strauss Mann and like shot it pretty hard. And it just caromed off his stick, went all the way down into the empty net. Strauss Mann then like did the flyby and everything. I loved that.
I think
he wasn't sure
to do it, but then they're like, no, you got to do that. And
it's
he's like,
goal.
All right.
It's his goal.
Yeah.
You know? You got to do it.
Oh,
so,
it was awesome.
Yeah. You don't see that every day.
That was real.
That one was live.
Yeah.
We now move on to our weekly one-timers.
Also
again,
live.
That was live.
Yeah.
The BCHL showcase is coming up. That's a local thing.
It's a local thing.
Tell me more, John.
Yeah. Okay. All the BCHL teams are coming down to Seattle for a showcase. So they're all going to play 2 games over, I think it's like 5 days. There's kind of 2 groups. Like there's several teams that play in the first couple of days and then a bunch of teams that play the second couple of games. So it kicks off Sunday, October 22nd. And again, at KCI, I believe it's $10 for as many games as you want to watch in the day. So pretty nominal fee. And you know, BCHL is considered tier 1. I think it's tier 1 of Canada. So, and they maintain their college eligibility. So a lot of these kids are playing in the BCHL to eventually play US college. Some teams to keep an eye on are Penticton. Are you right over there?
Yeah, I'm fine. That's and not
West
how you
Kelowna.
Say that, but that's all right.
Penticton actually has 3 NHL drafted players on it.
Okay.
It's the only team that's got drafted players as far as I know.
You have a hard time with city names, I've noticed.
Yeah.
In general. You know, I called you out once for
Anaheim,
which does not end with an N, but I called it out and you just keep on going with it. And now we're going with Penticton. That's fine. Penticton. I like it.
Okay.
Like, where is that N sound in the middle coming from? There's no, it's Penticton. There's no N in there. It's like a tick, like a
Penticton.
Not a, what?
Penticton.
No.
Okay. I gotcha. Anyway, and Andy's favorite team, Trail, is also playing.
Yeah, the Smokies.
Yeah. Yeah. The Smokies will be in Seattle. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, our next weekly one-timer. Speaking of junior hockey, the Thunderbirds had a really wild finish to their game on Tuesday. They scored 4 goals in the final 1:04 of the game to win 6-4 over the Brandon Wheat Kings. That's pretty wild. You don't run into that very often. You don't see that every day.
Pretty awesome, yeah.
The Thunderbirds are now 4-1, which is a pretty solid start. Curtis, I know you went to their banner-raising night. That was the one game that they lost. So
good on you.
It's your fault, right?
You know, okay, can't rebuttal either.
You agreed with that. That's fine. Silver Tips, meanwhile, are 4-3. Wenatchee Wild are 3-5-1. So maybe not quite the start that they wanted. Although they did have some drama with their coach, Kevin Constantine, effectively getting fired. So
yeah,
suspended and then fired.
Then fired.
Yeah. Not a great way to start your WHL tenure.
No.
But they've won some games. They're 3-5-1.
They're supposed to have a good team.
I know. Right? They're supposed to be quite good. So.
And I don't know, are all the prospects back yet?
No, Zach Benson. Is that his name? Zach Benson.
Connor Geeky's back, though.
I think he's back.
He is,
yeah. So. Our next weekly one-timer. Leon Draisaitl has set a new franchise record for the Edmonton Oilers for power play goals in his career with 127. This surprised me a little just because of like the Edmonton dynasty, right? That nobody had more than 127 power play goals for the Edmonton Oilers. That really surprised me.
Yeah, Gretzky only had 125 before he was traded to the Kings. So
that's it?
That's it. That's all.
What a loser. Our next weekly one-timer. Don't tell anybody that I just called Wayne Gretzky a loser, please.
We're never getting him on the pod.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Kirby Dach is out for the season with a torn ACL and MCL. You never want to see that, especially because this is a young player who I think has a bright future. And I've loved watching him play, you know, at the junior level and just like kind of following his career. He's one of those kids that I've like heard his name for a long time. Like, this is going to be a great player. I hate having did he get hurt before the draft too? Or is that somebody else?
That's Peyton Krebs.
Peyton Krebs. Okay. Yeah.
And I think
good memory.
Well, I think, I was just going to say Kirby Dach's from the 2019 draft, mm-hmm. which we covered.
Right. And so maybe that's why.
I think that we do have a special place for all those players.
Yeah.
Because it was our first time we're on the media scene, I guess.
Yeah, and, that's right.
Dach was one of those. The program had a good night, but the WHL also had a good night as well on the first round of that draft. So Kirby Dach being one of them.
Our final weekly one-timer. We talked about Maria Fujimagari playing for the Kalamazoo Wings in preseason. She was on like a pro tryout. She got a win. She was the first woman in franchise history, Kalamazoo Wings franchise history, to win a preseason game. She unfortunately was then released from her tryout. But I did think it was interesting that she kept getting referenced as the first woman in Kalamazoo Wings history to win a preseason game, which tells me that there's been other women in the ECHL that have won games, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I did not know that.
I did not know that either, but now I do.
Okay, the more you know. That's also a cut-in, right? We don't have a pianist in the room to play the more you know jingle. Okay, those are our weekly one-timers. We close the show with our tweets of the week. John, your tweet of the week.
It's a series of tweets. The first one comes from a hockey account, sound_hockey.
You know, I was thinking earlier today, we've gotten out of the habit of reminding people to follow us at sound_hockey. We always talk about our own like personal Twitter accounts at the beginning of the show, but follow us at sound_hockey, please, if you aren't already. And follow us on Instagram also. Somebody in the room here has been...
We have a new intern working on
a new Instagram intern. Yeah, that's been putting out some
more
stuff there.
And they're working through it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a growing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Sound of Hockey, at sound_hockey on Twitter, we put a lot of stuff there. Also, maybe hop on our Patreon, which we did not do a starting lineup tonight. We gave you guys a break. But we'll be back with the Patreon starting lineup. Yeah, really, at sound_hockey. Carry on.
Okay. John. So it says, in regards to the first game of the season, first regular season of the game, it says, lots more stats rotating through on the scoreboard this year. Also, the 3 Kraken eyes to mark the period are kind of cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I saw that the intern put that out. That was a good tweet.
And I agree with that. And then... Guy Fleming, also TPS_guy, who's a good prospect guy, and also covers the WHL. He says, I thought that was a warning how spicy the game was. And it's got two chili peppers.
Because the eyes kind of look like chili peppers. Yeah.
pretty good.
That is pretty funny. I did see that one when it came through, and it made me chuckle pretty hard. So, you know, I think the eyes are kind of cool, though. I think they're kind of cool. I think they're unique.
I think they had them last year.
Did they?
But not on the Twins. They had them kind of on one of those
auxiliary scoreboards. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I liked it. Curtis, you wrote down that you liked my run and talk. Yep. You're nodding. Okay. So I normally do the walk and talk after games. There was a particular, I think it was the Nashville game, and I wanted to get some exercise, and I decided to do a run and talk. So
I thought it was pretty good, but for the like screenshots, because it was like paused.
Mm-hmm.
It's like paused of you running, which is not probably the most attractive you've looked.
Well, I also held it kind of down at an angle where I wish I had held it a little higher. That's all. Like just that you never want to be like, you know, filming up at yourself.
Yeah.
And I was. And it seemed like there are some things bouncing there that I wish weren't, if I'm being honest. But that's why I'm out running too. You know, that's really the whole idea of it. So I'm glad that, Curtis, you got a kick out of that. My tweet of the week comes from good friend of the pod, Chris Peters. As we talked about Strauss Mann earlier scoring the goal, I only knew that this happened on Twitter because I saw Chris Peters retweeted it with one word in all caps, snipe. So that was funny. That's our show. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Thank you again for the 5-star reviews to Pragobunga, Washingtonian Dog, and Vincent Adultman SEA. We really appreciate that support. Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. We'll read it on next week's show. Also, thank you again to our Patreon subscribers or members, whatever we want to call them. We'll get back with the starting lineup next week. We wanted to do a little break, but we'll do more. So it's coming. But subscribe on Patreon if you haven't. You can be part of a future starting lineup.
It's good stuff out there.
Subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on Pocket Casts. Leave your 5-star review. We'll talk to you all very soon for episode 258. Cheers. Oh, and Curtis, rest your voice. Cheers. Oh, and stick taps to Andy. Cheers.